Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks. Today's program is brought to you as a public service by DestinationDelco.com. Just to the east of you, you can find the wonders of historic Delaware County. To learn more, visit DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. I'll be back to introduce our guest, Bridget Bingham of the Pennsylvania Beef Council, when Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. Five different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
I'm speaking to you from one of these cool little buildings that are right here in downtown Bedford. I'm going to ask Bridget about that in a minute. But these cool little buildings are, I can't explain it. When I lived in Chicago, Illinois, they used to have some houses that were built in downtown Chicago, actually before the fire, called shotgun buildings. And that's what these remind me of. They had a door in the front and a door in the back, and they were very narrow, and people lived in them. They had three rooms, and I guess they called them shotgun because you could shoot a shotgun through the building. So we're in one of these little narrow buildings right here on Juliana Street, directly across from the Bedford County Courthouse, and this is their new home, and we're going to learn a little bit about how they got here and all of that. But in the meantime, I want to introduce you to our guest, Bridget Bingham. First of all, Bridget, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us. It's a lot of fun being here.
Thank you, Lloyd. It's a pleasure. I'm glad to join you this morning.
Bridget Bingham, from Bedford County, far away, another state, whereabouts?
Grew up in Brockway, Pennsylvania, so a couple hours north of here. And my job with Haas's Steak and Sea House actually brought me to the Bedford area, close to 30 years ago.
Really?
And that's how I ended up in Bedford.
What county is Brockway in?
Jefferson.
Jefferson County.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the girl from Jefferson County gets married, comes down to Bedford via Haas's.
Yes.
Now, did you work for Haas's here or somewhere else?
No. I actually started in Haas's when I was in college in 1983. Oh. It was their very first location. The owner of the company had, he had a couple Western Sizzlin' franchises, and at that time he decided he wanted to go off and do his own thing, and he and another gentleman created the Haas's concept, and I was one of the original employees of the Haas's concept.
I never knew that. I thought they had been around forever. I mean, like 50 years or something.
1983, they began.
So was that a play on the Bonanza name or anything like that? Or
is it? The story goes that it had a little bit to do with that, but it was one of the few things that cleared the registration process. They had five or six names at that time, and Haas's Steak and Sea House was the one that cleared. Mm. So that's what they went with. But it was kind of a hearty feel. They were going after that hearty steakhouse kind of feel.
Oh, you know, guy on television, Haas.
Yeah, exactly.
Guy, yeah.
Exactly.
That's very interesting. So were you educated in Brockway or somewhere else?
I went to Brockway High School, and then I went on to the Dubois Business College in Dubois, which is a neighboring town.
Right. And so a long career at Haas's.
Long career, 28 years.
Promoting and publicizing the consumption of beef.
Yes.
And so you kind of slide right into the Pennsylvania Beef Council with all that experience.
Yeah.
So how long have you been with the Pennsylvania Beef Council?
Almost 4 years.
4 years.
I started September 4 years ago.
So what is your official title here?
Executive Director.
And you're the Executive Director of this council in the state of Pennsylvania?
Correct.
I was surprised when I first moved to Bedford that you were here. I expected you to be in some place like Harrisburg. So how did it get to be here?
Well, it originally started in Harrisburg.
I see.
And my predecessor, Paul Slayton, who was with the Beef Council for, I believe, 12 years, he spent the majority of his time in the Harrisburg area at the Beef Council. And then probably, I believe it was 7 to 8 years ago, Paul made the decision. They had an old building at that time, and it was either renovate the building, spend a lot of money, or consider a rental possibility. So at that time, their board made the decision to move the Beef Council to Bedford, Pennsylvania. Paul resided in Bedford. Bedford is a great, you know, great access from all the highway systems. It's just a little south of center in the state, so it made great sense. So Paul and his board moved the Beef Council to the Business Park. And that would have been almost 8 years ago. And we spent almost 7 years at the Business Park. And they were, it was a great place to hatch. I will borrow Betty's words. We hatched there. You know, we started there. It was a great turnkey opportunity for us. We didn't have to building maintenance. You know, we just kind of went in, turned the key in the morning, entered our building, and then left our space at night. So it was a great place for us to spend 7 years.
Well, this new spot is really great. I'm a big fan of having outfits like this downtown, any downtown. And so here you are. I was literally able to walk here to do our interview, so that's always good for me. Cardiovascularly speaking, it's good for me. And I think that it's just wonderful that you came to downtown Bedford, and I want to congratulate you. I want to make sure I did that today. So it's just great to have you here. So educate me a little bit. There's the pork outfit, there's the chicken outfit, there's the lettuce outfit, and you're the beef outfit. So what exactly does a Beef Council do?
Well, just to mention, all those commodities that you just mentioned, those all have checkoff programs as well. And that is what the Beef Council does. We act on behalf of the beef checkoff.
Okay, explain a little bit to folks who don't understand, what is a checkoff?
Sure. It's a producer. It's a producer self-help program, truly. It's producer funded and it's producer operated. So every time a bovine animal is sold in Pennsylvania, a dollar is collected.
Oh.
And of that dollar, 50 cents goes to the State Beef Council, which is us, and 50 cents goes to the Cattlemen's Beef Board, which is the national entity that oversees our checkoff, and the Cattlemen's Beef Board directly reports to USDA.
So that revenue comes from the sale of the animal.
Yes, of the
animal. So, as you say, every time one is sold. So this is anywhere, at an auction, anywhere.
Yes.
You sell one.
Yes.
And
auction markets, what we call private treaty. You know, when cattlemen are selling freezer beef to a neighbor down the road, whatever. All of those folks contribute to the beef checkoff because we are the entity that is promoting, educating, and researching on their behalf. Cattlemen are obviously very busy raising animals, very busy raising crops. So we act on their behalf to get out in front of the public, to get out in front of what we call consumer influencers, which is the health community, the fitness community, retail food service communities. We get out and we act as a liaison between that producer and that consumer to talk about the benefits of beef, to talk about production practices, to talk about sustainability, all of the things that are important to our consumers. The Beef Council stands in that gap, and we act on behalf of our producers.
Okay, so that's an interesting relationship. Mm-hmm. I just want to make sure I understand this. So you said every time an animal is sold, there's this dollar. If the animal is sold again in some other form, is there another dollar?
Yes.
Okay, so every time it's transferred.
Yeah.
So they go all
and some of these animals, you know, they may start off on a cow-calf operation, which is mama cows and babies, and they spend time there until weaning, and then they might go to what we call a stocker or backgrounder to get them to the next weight, and then they might be finished in what is referred to as a feedlot. Mm-hmm. So that animal could be sold a few times.
I see.
And then ultimately, obviously, go to harvest. So it just depends on the cattle operation. And every cattleman in Pennsylvania has a very unique operation, you know, depending on their resources, their land resources, their, you know, their expertise, whatever it may be. There's somebody else that can take up where they left off and finish it, or cattle spend their entire lives sometimes on the same farm and then go to market. So it just really depends on the producer, their expertise, and their resources.
Anybody that's ever been in a supermarket goes in and sees myriad of descriptions. When you go in there, you see all these choices. So do you have anything to do with that, or is that all at the retail level?
We help retailers with resources. You know, we offer on pack promotional information, we nomenclature, information, again, the whole nutritional information, different cuts, how those animals are raised, you know, whatever those retailers need to train their front lines, we provide that. And we are thrilled to be a resource because, you know, the checkoff that I work for, I am one of 44 state beef councils across the country who work on behalf of this checkoff. So we have tremendous resources, collateral pieces, photography, research, so many white papers, human nutrition research, safety research, you know, you name it. The checkoff, again, Pennsylvania is just one of 44. So if you take all of those dollars collected in places like Texas and North Dakota, South Dakota, Kansas, Nebraska, it adds up, and we are able to create wonderful information to support retailers' food service efforts. So we basically are an educational entity. We don't actually provide a beef product, but we provide knowledge, we provide training, tools, things like that to those retailers.
So I'm surprised you're 44. There's not 50. So some states don't have it at all.
Some states don't. You know, not every state has a large beef herd. You know, and mostly the Northeast, the Northeast area, you know, these 12 states up here, we have the population, but not the cattle. Right. You know, you go west and those folks have the cattle, but not the consumers.
Sure.
So that is the other part of this whole national organization that is just so beautifully orchestrated, because we have some larger states with lots of cattle that will invest dollars into the Northeast, and they allow us to tell the beef story to these consumers, because 23% of this nation's population lives, dines, eats in the Northeast.
Yeah, you bet. Our guest is fascinating, as you can hear, Bridget Bingham. She is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Beef Council, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach, and we are here in her delightful offices in the main conference room of her office here. There's been discussion for years, decades. Red meat's bad for you, beef is full of fat, all this kind of stuff. And yet the popularity of this product is very high. So it's like everything else, just facts and fiction. Isn't that so?
It's absolutely true. You know, beef is one of the most nutrient-dense proteins that we can eat. And the good thing, we just talked about all of the ocean of red in those retail cases, you know.
Right.
And I know some folks are overwhelmed, but we're proud of the fact that we have a solution for every family, every personal lifestyle, every choice. And, you know, 70% of what you see in that meat case is considered lean. And so, you know, you can enjoy lean beef as part of a healthy diet every day. And so, you know, the biggest thing for us to do is to sort out, you know, life choices and how we want to eat and how healthy we want to eat. And every now and again, we can indulge, and we have a T-bone for that. And if you want to be lean and healthy, we have loins and rounds, you know, anything that ends with loin or round. Those are lean choices. And so, you know, it's there. Yeah.
Well, I'm going to talk a bit more about that in the second segment, and we are going to be taking a little break now. But I really have learned a lot here in the short time I've talked to you, and I was hoping I wouldn't. In fact, my promise was fulfilled. It was just great. Our guest is Bridget Bingham. She is executive director of the Pennsylvania Beef Council, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe, or that we're a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Betty Slayton, president of BCDA, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
We have returned to the executive offices of the Pennsylvania Beef Council right here in downtown Bedford. And I want to remind you that the Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, you can visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. And also to remind you today that our program is brought to you by Thomas Chevrolet, where buying a car is always worry-free, and by DestinationDelco.com. Okay, Bridget Bingham, so we know that there are loins and rounds and fillets and sirloins and all kinds of things. So What may I expect to see when I go to the beef case in the supermarket?
Well, you know, really what you see in the supermarket case is the animal, you know, the carcass has different primal cuts and they get broken down into portions and they come from different parts of the animal. So, you know, the shoulder area of the animal's the chuck, and then you move down the back to the rib section, and that's a little further down the back. Then you go a little more and you have
your loin. That's where ribs come from. What do you think?
And then you have the loin section, and then, you know, the rump, the animal's back part is the round, and then down through, you know, the stomach area, you have the plate and the flank, and then, of course, the lower front shoulder area is the brisket. And so all of these primal cuts are broken down even further into cuts that consumers recognize in their meat cases.
Now, I had just learned something. I thought some of these words were actually the way it was prepared, but they're not. They're actually pieces of the steer.
Yes.
So if you order a brisket, you're actually ordering a specific part of the animal, and how you prepare it's your business.
Right.
So this is very interesting. So are there preferred places in this animal that make it better, or are they just different?
The fillet comes from like the top down the back of the animal up, you know, behind the rib loin area is where you get the fillet. And that's a muscle that, quite honestly, isn't used a lot. So it's a very tender muscle.
I see.
And a lot of us have heard of the flat iron. That's also a very tender muscle. And that's kind of from, they go into the shoulder area.
Gotcha.
And they pull out that.
So a good butcher knows all this, and they
yes.
know how to select these
yes.
parts and label them, and then, of course, put that out
yes.
in the case for you. See what you learn in this show. I'll bet if you hadn't been listening to this today, you'd be like me going, yeah, I know what that is. And actually, you don't. So this is a really very interesting. Bridget, you've been terrific. Okay, so I wanted to just go back for a minute to talk a little bit about the descriptions of red meat and fat and how it all works. You said nutritional. Everybody's gotten a little kind of hyper about nutrition today, and things are bad for you. My wife and I often joke about how about every 6 years, coffee's bad, and then coffee's good, and then coffee's bad again, and then coffee's good. And I've watched this cycle with red meat. So what are the facts?
Well, you know, we know through our human nutrition research that lean beef can be part of a healthy diet. It can be part of a heart-healthy diet. There was a study done by Dr. Penny Chris Etherton out of Penn State University, and the study was called Beef and an Optimal Lean Diet, and it kind of compared that diet to the DASH diet, which had been the gold standard diet. Many of us who have gone to the doctors, you know, that DASH diet is where they based in their recommendations that it was less red meat
right.
and more vegetables and fruits and other types of proteins like fish and chicken, things like that. Well, you know, the BOLD study, they were able to look at a group of individuals, and I certainly don't have the white paper in front of me to have all the complete nuances.
That's okay. This is not a scientific test.
But they were able to include lean beef in these folks' diet every day as part of their diet. And it was a lean beef, and it was a select lean beef. So it wasn't choice. It wasn't prime. It was select, which means it had less internal marbling. So select beef was part of their daily diet, and they were able to show cholesterol-lowering effects at the end of this research. And that that research was peer-reviewed, and it was found to be, you know, it was included in the nutritional journals as valid research, and it's called BOLD, B-O-L-D.
And I think that you made a good point a few minutes ago in the first section. You said that these are choices made by the consumer. You know, we don't want somebody to loom over them and tell them they have to eat a certain way.
That's right.
And we've seen a little bit of that lately emanating from Washington, which is not the best because, you know, we're not too bright, so we have to be told how to order a hamburger. And I've always kind of been resentful about that. And I think that if you know the things you're talking about, and I assume this information is available to people.
Yes.
Is there a website or something they can go on and
yes,
get
Yes, they can go on to the Pennsylvania Beef Council website, and if you just Google PA Beef Council, gotcha. It'll get you directly to us. And also BOLD, you could probably Google B-O-L-D, and BOLD Research, and you could get that information directly, or stop by our office here on Juliana Street, 205 Juliana Street, and we have wonderful collateral pieces with all of this educational information.
Well, so regular people can come in here, not just radio interviewers.
We work, with large consumer events and groups, but we would certainly be happy to share information with consumers directly here in our county. We'd be thrilled to do that.
All right, well, they're right next to the chamber on Juliana Street, so you should come over and see this. And by the way, it really is interesting. They have things on the wall that list of these facts that Bridget is referring to is here, and this little chart she was referring to is most interesting to me. It shows how the beef is actually sliced up and made prepared for you to buy at the supermarket or the meat market or wherever you get your beef. And speaking of beef, our guest is Bridget Bigham. She is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Beef Council. We are in their offices today on Bedford County Speaks. And I met Bridget a few months ago, and when she moved here, I literally saw your sign. Kind of vaguely knew you were over in the industrial park for a while, but I didn't really connect. So if nothing else, your sign introduced one citizen of Bedford to you, being here downtown. Have you found anybody walk in to say, I just discovered you, and what is this? And
have we visitors
like that?
We've actually Tiffany Cessna, who works here. She's in charge of our collections and compliance and office manager. She spends the most time here. I travel a good bit, but Tiffany said she has had more visitors in the last couple months than she has seen in her 5 years with the Beef Council. So we do have folks strolling in and curious about what we do and how we do it and why we do it. And obviously, we're thrilled to tell our story on behalf of beef producers.
Well, I think that you should have little steak sandwiches for people.
Yeah. We get that question a lot, and we wish we had an end product. Unfortunately, we don't. We have a message.
You could get a little, little restaurant to prepare something for you every day at a modest expense, I'm sure.
We have beef sticks every now and again. We do have beef sticks for events, but other than that, unfortunately, we don't have those delicious steaks in the freezer.
Do you actually go out in the public? Do you have events? Do you have shows that people
absolutely.
See?
Absolutely. We spend time at fairs. We spend time at health and nutrition events. We spend time at like marathons, educating athletes, because there's so many benefits to, fueling up with a good healthy protein before and after their races. So yeah, we spend time at...
It's got to be better than a carrot milkshake or something, honestly.
Yeah. We always have a popular booth with athletes. There's no doubt, because they know how powerful protein... A good lean protein stays with you. It has staying power, and they know that. And they need to fuel their bodies for a long race. So we spend time with those folks. And like I said, we spend time with retailers, food service accounts. Wherever we can get a large audience to be able to tell these messages, whether it be nutrition or sustainability or, just production practices. Why our cattlemen do what they do to raise these animals? Because these are not domestic animals. And sometimes those lines get blurred and what is the best thing for the animal? Well, I can tell you that these producers, this is important to them. This is their livelihood. They are not going to do anything to jeopardize that animal or the people consuming that animal. Their families consume this product at the end. So at any rate, that's what we do. That's our message. So we go out to retailers, food service, health, nutrition professionals, different events in the state, as well as in the Northeast. That's one thing that's very unique about our beef council. We are the only beef council in the country that holds a national contract to go out. We act as like a regional beef council here in the Northeast, because I had mentioned earlier that there are beef councils, there are states here in the Northeast that do not have beef councils.
And so which states do you assist?
So Maine, New Hampshire, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, and Connecticut do not have a state beef council.
Is
so we act
right
on their behalf.
I'll be done.
Vermont has one person.
Do you go to Vermont?
We do. We do. Boy. I have two staff members dedicated to the Northeast, and they go to like the Boston Marathon, the Marine Corps Marathon, the Brooklyn half marathon, the New York City Marathon. We go to all of those events. We go to Safeway Barbecue Bash in D.C.
What happens when you show up in a place like Bar Harbor, Maine, where they're pulling all this wonderful fish out of the ocean? Yeah, they go, well, what are you doing here?
You know, the one thing we find is universal to what we do, folks are curious about beef.
Yeah.
They want to hear about beef. We always have a captive audience. They may not always agree with us, but they're always curious, and they're always open to sharing and asking questions. You know, the Pennsylvania Farm Show draws in, close to 400,000 consumers last year.
Yeah,
you know, that farm show is more of a consumer event.
Yeah.
That's the largest consumer event we do in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
And, you know, these folks come in there and they really are, they're three and four generations removed from farming. They have no idea where their food comes from. And so when they can actually talk with a producer and interact with a Beef Council staff member, they trust us. They listen to us. They ask good questions. And so it gives us a platform to share. And we do that throughout the Northeast.
Well, of course, some weeks ago we had the end of the Bedford Fair. And it always amazes me, as you say, when people come from outside of Bedford County and see the fair, and children are seeing livestock for the first time in their lives. They're 8 or 9 years old, when the local kids, of course, see them from birth. We have just a few minutes left. Is there anything I've missed on this thing at all that you wanted to cover? I always feel like I miss things when I...
Yeah, I just, you know, I really feel like we work for some of the finest people on planet Earth. You know, those folks out there raising food every day, that less than 2% working hard to feed the 100%.
Yeah.
You know, I'm very passionate about those folks. I get out of bed every morning because I feel very blessed to be able to represent them. And they're some of the most misunderstood people. You know, the population that, you know, that 98% that doesn't know what goes on in the farming community, they don't often do good research. They don't look for both sides of the story. You know, it's more of an emotional discussion rather than a actual truthful science-based discussion. And I would just encourage the public, you know, don't go by the headline. Dig deeper and get to a farm. Call a farmer. They'll open their doors. They'll talk to you.
They are,
and they have nothing to hide. They're very transparent.
Yeah.
You know, they are not hiding behind those walls. A lot of times they can't let the masses in because of biosecurity.
Sure.
You know, we bring things to those farms, and then those animals could potentially become sick or there could be a problem. So, you know, farmers have to use discretion and wisdom, and they have to protect their animals. But every farmer that I know would open his or her doors and say, come in and let me show you and let me tell you why.
Now, just one final thing, a little plug here for Bedford County. We have a lot of good beef producers here in this county, do we?
Yes,
not?
We do.
Yeah. And I understand when I spoke to you before we went on the air that some of these beef lots and beef producers aren't as large as we think.
That's right.
Yeah.
The average herd size in Pennsylvania of beef cattle is less than 15.
Yeah.
You know, so a lot of these folks, again, I'm going to come back to how hard they work. They have a day job. They raise cattle as something that they love to do, and it's more of a hobby to them.
Mm-hmm.
So these folks work hard. And a lot of people don't associate dairy with beef.
Yeah.
But dairy is also part of the beef chain. You know, those cattle, yes, they're primary. Profession, let me say, is milk. But at the end of their life, their milk life, they enter the food chain as beef. So, and we work with some of the most tremendous dairy folks. And those folks are working real hard. You know, they're milking those animals 2 and 3 times a day. And again, I just can't stress enough how wonderful these people are. And I would say get to know the person behind your food if you can.
I knew this was going to be a hard show to do because you're just so ebullient. You have all this stuff you want to tell us about, and we don't have the time. But I just really, really appreciate your coming on the program and doing
this.
Thank you. And Bridget Bigham has been our guest. She is the executive director of the Pennsylvania Beef Council, which is located right here in beautiful downtown Bedford. So if you want to come and see her office, she has welcomed you to come in and see it. She doesn't have the little roast beef sandwiches yet, but she's working on that. So again, thanks again. Bedford County Speaks was brought to you today by Destination Delco and Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car is always worry-free. Let's get together next Saturday right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, have a great weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday, beginning at 8:30, to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.